Warning: the Chit Show podcast contains explicit or vulgar material that might not be suitable for those under the age of 18 or those with thin skin. So you've been warned. And thank you for listening, supporting, and sharing. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Chit Show. Ah.
Yeah, it's like that. That's how it's going down. All right. Oh, you know, stuffs. Stuffs. Sips of water. Clapping of hands. Oh, yeah, I'm here for it. Totally here for it. Danny, are you here for it?
I am.
You are here for it. Okay.
I'm here.
Let's get an applause for that, too. Shit.
Why not?
People. We in this bitch. And here we go. Yeah. Yeah. It's like that. It's what's going down. It's what's happening. It's what you're listening to. Hey, hey, hey. Air drum, bitches. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 113. This is the Chit Show Podcast. I'm your boy, your host, the man, the legend, Leo, a.k.a. DJ Brute, a.k.a. the obnoxious motherfucker, on your earwaves.
What's up, fuckers?
You know the fucking vibes.
You know the vibes, and you know what it is, and you know who I, well, who is joining me. And, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Danny, a.k.a. Danko. Donko,
Mr. Jason.
Mr. Donks.
If you would have told me that we would be here today and we would be getting married, I would not have believed you.
What the fuck is going on?
You said it like you went the man, the myth, the legend. And it's like that video of like the girl you went to high school with who picked on everybody marrying their person, and it's their speech, and it's like, Jason, if you would have told me today that we would be here with all our friends and our family, I would not have believed you.
Call me Becky. Call me Becky. I'm Samantha. I'm
here.
Sex with everybody. Hey, what's up? Well, hey, welcome,
hey,
buddy.
Yay.
How you doing? How you feeling? What's going on?
All right, man. Chilling.
Doing okay?
It's a lovely Sunday.
Sunday it is. That it is.
It is.
Is it windy today? Yeah. Like it's been the last few days?
My weather thing says wind advisory 11 hours ago.
Oh.
So, let's see.
Yeah, it's funny. It's one of those things where like you start to see the blooms on the trees and out and about, and you're just like, oh my gosh, spring is here. And in the Antelope Valley, it's like, yep, spring's here. And then all of a sudden, it's just whoosh. And the wind
faster
comes
than the
in.
Wind.
And then you go, oh yeah, that. And so yeah, we're dealing with that now.
Yeah,
it's always funny because like most of the spring events are always just marred by wind. Just wind. Mm-hmm. And it's hilarious. But anyway. We are here. Danny's here. Danny's feeling good. He's feeling all right. He's all right.
I feel great.
Mentally.
Yeah, mentally I feel great. Physically I'm yeah, not, but you know.
It's a thing. It happens.
It is what it is.
But we's here. We's loud, we's proud. Let's get into episode 113, bitches.
What's up, fuckers?
You know the fucking vibes.
Really quickly, I want to thank everybody who came through the Britisher this weekend. Hell yeah. For the month of April, we're not going to be at the Britisher much. Usually, we try to aim for three a month. We were only there twice this month, and it was this past weekend. Well, it was this weekend. So thank you to everybody who came out. It was fun. It was, we had a great time. Shouts out to Chef Dre, dude. He always crushes it with the food. Mm-hmm. And this man is not afraid to combine things. He's got this steak and bacon sandwich or slider.
Mm.
And he does his cheeseburger sliders, of course. Well, I got the steak and bacon burger. And let me tell you, it's delicious. Ladies and gentlemen, shouts out to Chef Dre, a.k.a. Andre Goins, the man. He's always grilling it up, chefing it up out front of the Britisher when we have our DJ nights. So shouts out to him. He's crushing it. He makes some good food.
Hell yeah.
And it's nothing too crazy. Like, it's just like, you know, basically it's like sliders. He's got pulled pork. He's got burgers. You know, he's got the steak and bacon. He does, like, spicy hot dogs. Sometimes he'll do chicken. It's great. He was telling me he fucked around and did a tamale. Or did tamales that were, what was it, collard green and ham hocks?
Ooh.
Yeah. He was, like, experimenting. And he was telling me how he made it. And I was like, that actually sounds really bomb. I would love to try that. And I'm not a tamale guy. I'm not, not about the tamale life. But, yeah. Shouts out to Dre. It was good times. Good times. Shouts out to everybody that came out. Shouts out to the Britishers. Shout out to Boogaloo. A good times were had. And I will say that I'm getting a little eager and anxious as far as event throwing goes. I am really just like really wanting to throw some dope events and starting to get a little desperate. Not going to lie. Starting to get a little desperate. We're going to make some things happen. I'm talking to some people, though. And we want to figure some stuff out, think some collaborations, and just, man, I just want to have some fun and throw some dope events and spread the good book of drum and bass and house music and all that through the Antelope Valley. There's not enough, and you know, honestly, big goal. I'm putting this out there, and of course it takes the work behind it too. But I'm just saying it, like, man, I want a venue. I want to run a venue out here. I want to obtain a fucking building, a property somewhere around here and in the heart of Lancaster and open up a venue. Cause the city deserves it. And there's nothing. And honestly, it's not to knock all the other venues that are doing shit. Yes, there's places out here. You might be going, oh, but I went to a show at such and such place. Don't get me wrong. There are venues out here, but to do the kind of shows that I want, or to get the kind of shows that we see, like, in other places that people, which is why people continue to leave Lancaster still, even though we have music happening out here. It's because there's certain types of events that just don't go down, or there's certain genres of music that are just not loved and appreciated out here from the venue standpoint. There are people who love the music and will support it. They just don't have a place to go out here, and none of the venues want to fuck with it. So, like, EDM... I mean, there's some hip-hop shows out here, but, like, I don't know. There's a certain style. There's a certain vibe that's just not happening. And there's certain artists that aren't getting spotlighted. And, man, if I had a venue, man, we'd be doing some dope shit.
Yeah.
But shout out to
Chef Dre, Chef Danko collab.
That'd be dope.
Because that's all I would do at the
My venue, would for sure have like a kitchen area.
It has to. It has to have food.
You gotta have food, man. I'm for that. Even if it's just like finger foods and shit. Drunk people love food, period.
Yeah.
That's why I get so sick of some of these venues that want to push their fancy schmancy, oh, we think we're from Silver Lake, but we're in the middle of the desert menu, and sell $15 burgers. And I'm like, these people are just drunk. They just want food. Pull the burger off, sell the fries. They want the fries more than they want the fancy burger.
Yep.
Tacos, you know, slices of pizza, fucking hot dogs. Like, come on. It's easy. Anyway. It is what it is. But I'm going on a rant. I'm going on a tangent. But yeah.
One day.
The drive. No, but that's where I've been lately. I've been thinking it over a lot. It's been bugging me. So I don't know. I'm hoping to collaborate with some people. I'm hoping to do some cool stuff out of the norm. out of what's normal for me. So we'll see. But I'm looking forward to, festival season's upon us. Hey, festival season. It's been upon us. But I know as far as work goes, my festival season is about to start. We start with Coachella, and I'm excited with that. And then I'll be at EDC, and then Lightning in a Bottle, as I think I've said before. So looking forward to that, prepping for that. But let's get into the show. We're actually going to talk a little bit about Coachella later, and just a small aspect of it, my stage. And yeah, let's get into it. News and what's trending. So of course, mostly what dominated the news is, of course, Ukraine and Russia.
Always.
Which seem to not be looking good for Russia. In a sense. And of course, the Oscar slap last week. Everyone overanalyzing.
Has Wilson's spiraled actions. Out of control.
It's out of control. And I will say, though, that the there has been some decent commentary. I think some really interesting commentary to come out. Like Jim Carrey, for instance. Jim Carrey's commentary was very interesting to me, and I feel like he made a really good point as far as, like, especially with the, like, well, one, we also said this, like, it basically cast a shadow on the rest of the night. Like, it's all anyone was talking about. Like, Questlove won a fucking Oscar immediately following that slap, and no one was really talking about it that much. Mm. I think Samuel L. Jackson won his first Oscar. No one was really talking about that. It was all about the slap.
Yeah.
So there was that, and basically he was saying, like, Hollywood is not, they're not the cool kids anymore. They're not the cool club. And that he felt like it was just a big visual of Hollywood being spineless en masse. And this actually, we'll use this as a segue to go into the next one of our topics. But yeah, that's all anyone was talking about was the slap, nonstop. Yeah.
Memes. He resigned.
Yeah, and that now Will Smith has resigned from the Academy, and honest, and I still stand by this. They better not take his Oscar. He better not give that shit back. He better not take. They better not take it, because there were some good points, and I don't think we made this. And I meant to make this point last week. Was that there is a ton of people who kept their Oscars after doing some outlandish and wild shit or getting violent or whatever, and they all got to keep their Oscar. Like, I don't think that should be what happened. And honestly, a lot of the karma was instant, to be honest. To be honest. His reputation, yeah. Yeah. So he's getting his. I will say he's getting his. And, yeah, so that's all anyone's talking about. And it's interesting because I feel like this might have been part of maybe a small catalyst to Jim Carrey's most recent announcement, which was basically that he was going to most likely retire from acting. I feel like the timeline for that was a little hazy. Some people are saying that, like, basically after the release of Sonic, like, he's done. Like, Sonic was his last one. Some say that I saw some reports, I think, that he was still kind of just like not necessarily weighing, but like he plans on retiring very soon. It's just not exactly entirely clear when. But yeah, Jim Carrey wants to retire, which isn't surprising. He kind of already, like, sort of semi-retired. He went on hiatus and focused on his art. Yeah, he was gone for a while. He came back, did a few roles. Sonic. He was in that TV show where he was phenomenal. He basically was like a Mr. Rogers type. And yeah, he did some things and was just fucking great. And yeah, he might retire for good, though, from acting. And I feel like this whole Will Smith thing was kind of a little tiny push to him. Like, just his reaction and him seeing what happened for the Oscars is kind of like, you know what? I'm done. I'm done with this. I'm done with this community. I'm done with this life as an actor and a part of this group. I'm done.
Yeah.
And,
You know, the quiet life is better.
Yeah, but he's
all the day.
Yeah, that's true. And he's also already been in this, like, realm. So it's, I can't, you know, I'm basically just speculating. But I have a feeling, you know, I just have this feeling. But yeah, that was big news too. Jim Carrey's retiring from acting. Yeah. Other big news as far as actors go was Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis is retiring and stepping away from acting as well because he was diagnosed with aphasia. Aphasia? I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. But, yeah. A lot of people were talking about his career this week because probably in the last couple of days, I think it was announced just a few days ago.
Yes.
So Bruce Willis' family announced on Wednesday that he would be stepping away from acting after developing aphasia, a condition that makes it increasingly harder to use and understand language. This news brings an apparent end to a career in film and television that roared to life in 1985 when ABC aired the first episode of Moonlighting, which starred Willis and Sybil Shepherd as David Addison and Maddie Hayes, the bantering heads of the Blue Moon Detective Agency. The next 35-plus years took the actor on quite a ride. The Die Hard movies, 12 Monkeys, The Fifth Element, and Armageddon, The Voice of a Baby and Look Who's Talking, collaborations with decorated directors including Wes Anderson in Moonrise Kingdom, Quentin Tarantino in Pulp Fiction, and M. Night Shyamalan in The Sixth Sense, Unbreakable, and Glass. Not one but two famous flops that come up now and then for proposed reconsideration, Hudson Hawk and The Bonfire of the Vanities, a return to TV comedy and an Emmy-winning guest role on Friends, ultimately a whole series of straight-to-video thriller and action pictures, First Kill and Hard Kill, Extraction and Reprisal. And this isn't even close to all of it. Yeah. He is stepping away.
Yeah.
It seems...
And it's...
Oh, go ahead.
It's happened to a couple of actors or actresses in the past. Like Emilia Clarke suffered from aphasia during Game of Thrones. Which, and, you know, Sharon Stone as well suffered from aphasia. And so it is one of those things where it's like, you really do want to focus on yourself.
Yeah.
And just, you know, in treating it or making it yourself better, because obviously Sharon Stone and Emilia Clarke kind of came back after a while. But, yeah, I don't think people are like angry or outraged or anything. I think they just want, you know, Bruce Willis to be like, yeah, dude, chill. Like, cause he's been making a ton of movies.
Yeah.
So it's like, focus on yourself. You know, everyone just wants him to be better or to just work on himself. So.
Yeah. And, like you say, the consensus has just kind of been like a fuck. Yeah, Bruce, like, thank you. You know, you did good, kid, and just take care of your fucking self, please.
Mm-hmm.
And even the Razzies, which is basically like a satirical award show where they kind of just poke fun at actors and give out like joke awards.
Yeah.
They even rescinded their award that they were supposed to give Bruce Willis this year. After the announcement, they were just like, you know, like it's in poor taste. We don't want to make fun of him. So they rescinded the award. It's been, and even his wife has said that there's been a huge outpouring of support. She's very thankful, and everyone's been so great about it and supportive and helpful and understanding. And just to shed some more light on it, aphasia is a language disorder caused by damage in a specific area of the brain that controls language expression and comprehension. Aphasia leaves a person unable to communicate effectively with others. Many people have aphasia as a result of stroke. So, But we wish him the best. I don't know whether this is like if he's able to recover from it at this point, considering his age. I don't know if this is like an, you know, like an age related thing. Mm-hmm. But if there's an opportunity for him to heal and get better, and that, I hope for that. That'd be great. But love, vibes, prayers, energy, all that. Thoughts, prayers to his family, to his friends, to him. And yeah, I hope that the rest of his life is great.
Yeah.
And I mean, what a weight off your shoulders, you know, like you don't have to worry about acting anymore. I mean, yeah, it sucks. I'm sure he loved it. And he probably didn't come to this decision lightly. But, you know, such an expansive career. And I'm sure you're making residuals off of a lot of things. You can, you know, kick it. Retire. You did it. You did it, old boy. But yeah. So, shouts to Bruce Willis. Bruce Willie. Fucking Bruce Willie. I'm still waiting for that. Oh, well, we're never going to get that Liam Neeson's Bruce Willie movie.
Nah.
Neeson's and Willie. That'd have been great. Oh, I'm getting calls right
Incoming
now.
Incoming call.
I know.
Incoming call.
Well, are you just
going
to yell at me now? Okay. I can't. So, yeah, let's move on. That was what was basically in the news, other than the Will Smith stuff, as far as like Hollywood goes. But let's move on. Also, like Blac Chyna. Blac Chyna was in the news. Let's talk about Blac Chyna real quick.
Okay.
Are you all right?
I mean, sure. Yeah. What'd she do, or what it was done to her, I should say, actually.
Well, here's the thing: is two things. Is one thing is she was in the news because she basically had tweeted that she had to give up three of her cars because, you know, she's a single mom and she doesn't get any child support and da 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 da. So for those of you who don't know, she has two children, one with Rob Kardashian and another one with Tyga, the rapper. And Tyga was the first to respond, and he basically aired it all out and was like, I spend X amount of dollars for my child to go to school and all that stuff a year, and also have this child from like Monday to Saturday or something like that, and was like, why would I pay you child support? And then Rob Kardashian was like, oh, I pay this amount and have her my child from Tuesday to Saturday. Why would I pay you child support as well? And then I think Tyga had responded with like, oh, what? You pay less than me? How the fuck did you get that price? And I got my price. And they basically just like aired her out on social media, and she was the talk of the town, of course, because then it was just like, yeah, why should they? If they retain sole custody, majority of the custody of the kids, why would they pay you child support? And, oh, no, you had to give up three of your how many cars? So there was that. And then the focus shift. She tried to shift the focus to, I guess, a lawsuit that she has against the Kardashians. She's alleging that they basically had her and Rob's show pulled. Like, they pulled the strings to get it canceled. And a slew of other things that happened.
That's not how that works.
Yeah, she's...
That's not how that works. They have custody of their children. Like, they will support their children still.
Yeah.
Like,
so... So she's gonna go to court with the Kardashians. I don't know too much about it. I just know that they're just going to court, and she's saying that the truth is gonna come out. And that's the regrouping. Like, everyone was just like, wait, what? You want them to pay you child support? And you have your kids for like a day or two out of the week? No. Mm. No. Mm-mm. No, that's good.
What does Blac Chyna do again?
She
does have a venture going on right now?
She exists.
She's got a show, right?
No, she exists.
Oh, it was canceled.
She exists on the internet. I also know that she also got into some trouble recently because some people were alleging that she basically kidnapped some girl.
Oh my God.
Like some girl was like partying with them and she wanted to leave and they wouldn't let her leave the hotel room. And her friend had to like go up to the door and bang on the door and shit and was recording on his phone. And yeah, I don't know what happened with that.
I don't know, man. It's like Tila Tequila, kind of like how I feel about, because Black China is kind of like an influencer, you know?
Yeah, and this was in December. Police were investigating an allegation that there was a hotel kidnapping, that they were holding some young lady in the hotel room against her will, but I don't know. Anyway. Yeah, she just kind of exists. Black China just kind of exists. And she's one of those women that has changed her body immensely. And like altered it. Mm-hmm. And it's she's infamous for that. And I don't know. She's online. She's on the internet. That's it. That's all I know.
Gotcha.
But yeah, that was all over Twitter. People were like, what the fuck? And yeah, I think that's it. Oh, there was also this fucking report. Holy shit. So Danny, check this out. You going to school, right? You're going to school.
Yes.
High school.
So okay.
High school. And you know, what happens at the beginning in the morning in your zero period? The Pledge of Allegiance.
Sure.
Pledge of Allegiance.
Yeah.
Danny, I'm going to ask you a serious question. Do you stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Yeah.
Do you put your right,
obviously.
Do you put your right hand over your heart? And
yes.
Do you say the Pledge of Allegiance?
I don't. Not anymore. Okay. Yeah. Okay. But I still stand and, yeah, you know, do the thing. Yeah. Yeah. I'm an example, yeah, so...
I'll just stand there.
Yeah.
But so there is a Texas student that was reprimanded and harassed by teachers and staff because she refused to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. She would sit for the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay. She won $90,000.
Yeah.
In this Texas lawsuit. I'm gonna dig her up.
Yeah.
High school student filed a lawsuit against her former school district accusing teachers of harassing her over several years of sitting out the Pledge of Allegiance. Okay. 5 years ago, she said her teachers harassed and disciplined her for sitting out the Pledge of Allegiance. Today, she's $90,000 richer after American Atheist helped her sue the Klein ISD. The student, known as M.O., declined to participate in the pledge because she objected to the words under God and believed that liberty and justice for all is not guaranteed for people of color. Dropping the bombs on them again. Is she wrong? Is she wrong?
No.
That's right.
No.
She says, go ahead. Sorry.
I do it out of like, because again, I'm.
You're an employee of the school district.
I'm an employee of the school.
You're a representative.
So I'm going to stand there and be like, you know, whatever. I don't say it because I agree pretty much with what this high schooler is saying, but you don't fucking shame children or you don't shame anybody for how they react to the Pledge of Allegiance.
I'd say that's a worthy compromise, sir. You stand there, you put your hand over your heart, okay? The least thing, the least is you could not have to do is say it.
Yeah, I look up.
Yeah.
I flip off the flag in front of the kids. I'm just kidding. I don't do that.
You give them the DX cross arms, the X arms over the crotch.
I actually just hold up like a little chalice with blood and I kneel in front of the flag. And I go, all the offerings to the blood god.
And he says, Hail Satan! And then he runs up to the principal and does a Stone Cold Stunner.
Yep.
I can tell when you actually visualized it in your head.
But yes, I don't say it. I stand. But like, I'm not going to shame some child. No one should. I don't care where you're at. I don't care if you're a hardcore American or whatever. Whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't shame someone. That's their right to do. It doesn't matter that they're not an adult. Or it's like, that's their right to either, if they want to stand, they can stand. Yeah. Like, let them show where they stand. You know, like, let them do what they want to do. You know, and she has good reasons. She has good reasonings.
Yeah, she actually does. She says several Klein Oak High School teachers harassed her over several school years as a result. She also accused counselors, administrators, and its former principal for failing to protect her rights. One of the teachers named in the suit was accused of threatening to fail students who refused to participate in the pledge. He was also recorded saying he would pay students to move to Europe if they didn't like living in the U.S. Interesting.
I would love if that man paid for my Europe trip.
Right?
I'd been like, all right, go do it, bitch. And then send the money to my account.
The harassment eventually led to M.O. suffering panic attacks that greatly interfered with her education. Her family invested more than $10,000 in costs related to homeschooling, according to the lawsuit.
Mm-hmm.
Randall Callinan, Texas civil rights attorney. It is incredible the time and money spent by the Klein Independent School District to stop a student's free speech. $90,000. And really, it comes from... Here's the thing that you have to keep in mind, because I'm sure people are just be like, oh, getting paid $90,000 for committing treason, for being anti-American. It's like, no, really, when you really look at it, she got paid $90,000, okay? $90,000 for people treating her like shit. Like, all you have, I don't understand, like, why people have to make a big deal about it. Just ignore her. Let her, just let her sit there. Who cares? Who cares? Now it's $90,000, most likely out of taxpayers' money, because this is from a school. It's not going to come out of those teachers' retirement funds or pay. But, it's just like one of those things when you could have just, like, just ignored her and gone about your day over the Pledge of Allegiance, really? And she has every right to do that. It's the fucking Pledge of Allegiance. Like, who cares?
Why do we have to do it every day anyway?
Yeah. Do it once at the beginning of the week.
Yeah.
Once at the beginning of the week, or once at the beginning when it's at the end. Or don't do it at
whatever.
All.
Yeah, who cares?
Fucking, we live here. You pay the taxes. You follow the laws. You vote. You support the things. You do the stuff. Like, really? Come on. Anyway,
oofy.
That late. I hope she. I don't know. Recall if I saw plans to get into college, but she's kind of set for the beginning of it. I hope she's seriously considering college, or at least a fun trip and then college. Cause fuck,
go to college. They're smart enough not to do the Pledge of Allegiance every day.
Yeah, they don't do it.
They don't have time.
They don't have time.
Yeah.
We're fucking busy. We're out here doing. We're getting shit done. I got fucking midterms.
Yeah.
Why do they give me a final before the finals? That's how they get you. It's a final.
Yeah, it's a
scam. They just don't call it a final. Midterms. Fuck out of here. All right. Anyway. That was it for news and what's trending. Hey.
Hey.
Let's move it along. Let's move it on up to TV and movies.
Which one sauce is back?
I got nothing. You said Szechuan sauce is back?
Yeah.
Again?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, nice. Maybe I'll try it this time.
Yeah. I was thinking about it. I'm a little hungry.
Yeah. Wait, like right now? Like right now it's back? Like if I went to McDonald's right now, they'd have Szechuan sauce.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to get chicken nuggets after this.
It's an app exclusive.
Oh, fuck.
And if I send you money, since I can't really move that much, this has nothing to do with the podcast.
Yeah, you're just going to have to listen into our plotting and planning here, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, if you do decide to go to McDonald's, okay, if you don't feel obligated. I'll send you some money so you can get me some chicken nuggies, too.
Or I'll just give you the nugs because I love you.
Aw, dude. What the fuck was that? What's that supposed to mean?
Because life is a joke.
Oh. It is a joke. Yeah, TV Whack. Movies.
TV and movies, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I have nothing. Hey. I'm still watching the same shows. Severance is fucking getting hype right now. Bel Air is on some wild shit.
Oh, Bel Air is so good.
Yeah, Bel Air is on some wild shit. We are currently tackling the Fresh Prince of Bel Air father daddy issues.
Yeah. Fucking been a
father played by a Wayans brother. Okay, we got Marlon Wayans coming in as Will's dad.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, yeah, it's been good. It's been great. It's getting wild. And Severance, fuck. Also getting wild.
Yeah.
Ptolemy Gray, holy shit, getting wild. I'm enjoying my TV watching stuff right now.
By the way, this episode of Bel Air is the season finale. So,
what, this last one?
This is the season finale.
Like the one 10. That came out on Friday?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll talk about it, I guess, late next week or something.
Yeah.
And Moon Knight. I forgot about Moon Knight. I guess we'll both talk about Moon Knight because that is on the list for you. I totally forgot. I did see Moon Knight. We did have Moon Knight come out finally on Disney Plus. And from what I'm seeing, people are enjoying it.
Yeah.
I know I enjoyed it. It was funny because I was a little annoyed at first and then like quickly appreciated the way that things are laid out. Guys, there is like no structure in this thing. At least in this first episode. There is when you realize and understand what's going on.
It definitely has a big buildup into something that, like, if you're a Moon Knight fan, you understand what's happening.
Yes.
But at the same time, it's like, did I just get dropped into it like 3 hours into an like a show or something? Because it's really like, it is very, there's no structure. It's very chaotic. And even Alicia would like look at me and go, wait, I'm confused. Is it last night that everything happened or is it the day after? And I'm like, no. It's been a couple days.
Yeah.
you know? But that's what makes this show like kind of fun, or that episode, I should say, kind of fun.
Yeah.
How structured, not structured it was.
Ladies and gentlemen, you need to understand that from the rip. If you haven't seen it yet, you need to off the jump from the get-go, before you watch it, let go of traditional episode and TV watching or understanding of TV.
Yeah.
Because what it is that the narrative aspect of it has been removed. There is no overlying explaining from a narrator or anything like that.
There is no origin.
You're basically just dropped into the story with no explanation of where they came, where it happened before, no narration of what's going on right now, where you're going, who's what. You know, there's nothing. It's you're dropped into the fucking episode with the main character and to just deal with it.
Yeah.
And I also love how basically episode one was everything that they showed us.
Yes.
All of the teasers, the trailers, were episode one.
Mm-hmm.
So they basically showed us episode one with all the trailers, and we don't know shit.
No.
We know nothing going forward. It's crazy. Like, it's so chaotic, and it honestly just plays to what they're trying to accomplish and what Moon Knight is. Like, to the T. Like, I think it's done being done very well. This is great.
Yeah.
This is really awesome. Good.
It was a fun episode, and it's got a little bit of humor too. It's got that Marvel humor,
of course.
But like, it's very confused. Like, I'm blessed again. I'm not trying to like flex, but like, I'm blessed with the knowledge of like who I'm looking at,
mm-hmm.
and like what's happening when things get really weird. So it's easy to explain to Alicia, like, no. Like, you got to understand, like, we're not doing origin time. We're doing like new identity time.
Yep.
Because that's who Moon Knight is. He suffers from dissociative identity disorder. And so we're dealing with characters that are there, but not there. And Khonshu, which they showed very like fast.
Yep.
And I was like, oh my God, it's Khonshu. You know, like, and it's just like, it's funny how it puts them in the, like, new people in the frame of mind of like, nah, you should know this. Which is very weird, because yeah, like, it's like Leo said and I've said, there's no origin, there's no beginning, there's no explanation. It's just, we're dealing with this with Steven, the main character. We're dealing with what he's been dealing with for a couple of months now.
Yeah.
So it's a very interesting way to start a show. I'm super excited for more. Alicia and I definitely enjoyed it. We thought it was dope. So we're definitely going to keep up on it. And I just hope that it becomes like one of those staples where I get to see Moon Knight now for more than just his show, you know? So.
Dude, this is going to be great.
Yes.
And that
effects, great. Effects look great.
Oh, yeah.
You know? So.
I'm stoked. Ladies and gentlemen, Moon Knight on Disney Plus. We have our first episode. Looking forward to the rest of the season. And yeah, man, that's great. Danny, what else you got for us? You got something you need to say? You got something you got to get off your chest?
So there's Moon Knight's not the only Marvel thing that came out
this week.
We actually, on April 1st, April Fool's Day, we actually got, the iconic Morbius movie had released. It had come out, which, I couldn't really gauge if it was good or bad for a cool minute. Because it was A, April Fool's Day, and B, I think people are just done with Fox. So, Morbius came out. If you look up hashtag Morbius sweep on Twitter, which was trending all day, it's just people like gassing the movie up. So at first I was like, oh, is it good? Like, is it a good movie? Absolutely not. It bombed. Like, it was a failure. I heard it was terrible. Alicia went to go see it. She said it was really bad. And I trust Alicia now because,
you know
who her partner is. It's me. And she also reads comics. So she was just like, I don't understand. They did everything badly. Everything was bad. But for like a good like 4 hours, it was just like on Twitter, it was like tweets like, going to go see hit movie Morbius in theaters. And it's like watching Morbius for the 8th time today because it's so good. So it's just people fucking rating it and like altering Rotten Tomatoes. So it has like a 400% rating. Oh, and it's like great. Some dude in pajamas, like what I dressed in my wedding day. And then it's like me seeing hit film Morbius starring Jared Leto. And he's in a suit. Like, it's. I hear theaters are empty. I hear it was a bomb. I hear it's not very good. It has no connection whatsoever to the Marvel Universe. Thank God. I just heard it was a bad time. But I was gaslit into thinking it was good. For like a good couple hours because of the tweets that were coming out.
I love it.
I will like to mention, and one of them is like the Academy strips Will Smith of Oscar, gives it to Jared Leto instead. But yeah, it was
I love that.
Yeah, so I guess don't watch Morbius.
Don't do it.
Yeah, whatever. I mean, we'll just start again. Maybe Morbius will come back in like 10 years. But I don't know, Jared Leto. I don't know. This is the second hero movie that he's been in, or superhero movie or comic movie, yeah, whatever you want to say, and he's bombed in both.
Yeah, so people were talking a lot about that. He's the only actor who basically has credit for the worst movies in DC and Marvel. Morbius is being seen as the worst Marvel movie ever.
Oh, thank God, because Eternals didn't deserve it.
Exactly. That's exactly what I thought. I was just like, oh my gosh, now the heat will be off of Eternals. And maybe people will actually kind of be like, you know what, actually, I kind of like Eternals more now.
Yeah. Maybe they'll get more credit. It's got 17%. We can only trust the critic reviews, because right now it's at a 69% because millions of people put 5 stars on it.
For April Fools.
So.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, that's... that's such a great April Fool's thing. I just love it. Because not even really like a joke. It is, but it isn't.
Yeah.
It's an action. It's an April Fool's action. I love it. Way to alter reality. Anyway.
So, there you go.
There you go. Morbius gaslighting, ladies and gentlemen. And that seems like that's what's going to, it's going to do it for TV and movies. Yeah, we're just looking forward to more of the Marvel stuff. I do have a few things on Apple that I want to check out. I have those shows that I'm checking out right now. And yeah, you know, and then of course, Amy and I have a list of movies and shows and stuff that we need to watch together.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Moving forward, guys, let's get into comics and books. Danny doesn't have anything, but I do. I have
something. Yeah, no, I don't have anything.
Holy crap. Cool. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I finally finished the damn thing. Today, actually. I had some time on my hands, and I listened to an album and finished the third installment of The Amori Wars in Keeping Secrets of Silent Earth 3. This is the sequel to the last one that I talked about, which was Second Stage Turbine Blade. And I finished it today. It was basically why I was late, but it's okay because Danny was late too. Like, I was feeling all bad. And then I hit up Danny like, hey, my bad. And he's just like, what? And shows up. And I'm like, what's going on, man? Were you waiting long? And he's like, nah, man. Like, I just got here. So, yeah, this was great. This was great. I like this one better than the first one. Of course, because it's longer. And I think, like I mentioned previously, I feel like the illustrating got taken a little more seriously, has more detail this time around.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just crazy. The story is just crazy. Gosh, I'm getting so many calls. Illustration is like, the story is crazy. The illustration's great. And I just, man, this was fucking dope. This was fucking cool, man. As far as the war goes, we are now at like a standstill.
Mm-hmm.
I like where it went. I feel like it kind of, because I feel like the first one was kind of up and down, and it took you to a place where you thought, like, you know, we were going to get some resolve and good was going to overcome, and then it didn't. And it's just like, what the fuck? This one is kind of like the same thing happened, but like everything was reversed, like inverse. Like, it was like, it felt like things were gonna get worse and go bad again, and then fucking it didn't. Not necessarily good overcame, but now we're at a standstill to where it's like, fuck, this war is intense. And a lot more things clicked for me as far as like references to the albums, song titles like Al the Killer, the Valorium Camper, etc., all those song titles and names and how they exist in the story and what they actually mean. And it was dope. I enjoyed it. I am looking forward to Good Apollo.
shit. We're at a climax. Like, damn, this is cool. There's some cool stuff in this.
Mm-hmm.
Like this, just the lore and the way that things exist and the different beings they have. This is kind of cool, man. I fucking dig it. And I look forward to finishing this shit, man. In Keeping Secrets of Silent Earth 3, that is part 2 of the Amori War. Well, part 3, I'm sorry, of the Amori Wars by Coheed & Cambria. Or by Claudio Sanchez. Sanchez, technically. Man. I can't wait. I hope you enjoy it, Danny.
Oh, yeah, I'm excited. I'm very excited.
And Amy finished second stage Turbine Blade, so I will be dropping that off to you soon.
Boom.
And I'm going to drop off In Keeping Secrets to her. We'll do a swap. So look out for that. Guys, check it out. If you've been on the fence about checking this out, I think you'll dig it. It's pretty cool. It's cool. It's nifty. Yeah. And that's going to do it for comics and books. Next on my plate, I'm thinking I'm going to take a break from the comics, the comic portion, and maybe jump into one of these. I think I'm going to finish The Truth Machine. I think I want to finish that and maybe read another book and then come back and then get back to comics.
Boom.
I have to read that omnibus. I have to read your omnibus and get that back to you. Anyway, gaming. Gaming. Yes. I mean, I think I mentioned that I started a new character in Diablo 2. Fucking around online. Decided I was going to actually play with people and enjoy that. And yeah, just rocking a druid. Trying to finish fucking StarCraft Brood War. It's hard. And yeah, that's all I've been playing, really. I know... I plan on upgrading my Nintendo Online subscription.
Oh God, I forgot.
It's okay. And I want to get the new courses for Mario Kart 8.
Uh-huh.
And I'm also thinking about picking up Mario Party Superstars. And yeah, there's just some things I'm gonna start playing. Some more stuff. You know, a lot of what held me back from playing things is I wanted to stream a lot of it because it's good content.
Yeah.
It's easy content. But if I didn't stream, then I wouldn't play, and now I've kind of gotten impatient with that, and now I'm just like, fuck it. Like, Bioshock, I'm going to start playing that again. And I just need to get on these games. I need to start playing games. I miss them. So, yeah, that's it. Nothing too crazy. Nothing new. I rarely have anything new on my radar, but we'll see. We'll see what happens. Chrono Cross, I mean, hopefully the Chrono Cross port's going to be dope, but we'll see. That's going to be on the Switch.
Yeah.
And yeah. But Danny.
Hello.
You got anything for us?
Yeah.
What you got?
Well, the server's been kind of hyper-focusing on a game. Buddy Billy bought me a copy of it, and then it kind of just spiraled into everyone buying copies for everyone. And it's called Eco. It's like Minecraft, but like throw in the judicial system and government. And it's like an adult Minecraft, essentially.
Okay.
So you kind of just spawn into this world, and as soon as you spawn in, it's like, yo, in 30 real-time days... this meteor is going to hit the planet and kill everybody unless you work together. So you kind of start from the bottom. You kind of like start in a place where you don't have any like specialties or anything. And you kind of build and progress towards finding a way to stop this comet mm-hmm. or stop this meteor with your friends. So it's very interesting. It's got like professions. Like you could be like the cook, the butcher, the hunter of the group, or you can be the engineer of the group and all that. And everyone has to work together to like craft stuff and all that.
Oh, okay.
And it's fun. It's like, we just created a mint. So we have our own currency now, and we have a Lord Supreme and technically a president, but yeah, it's just Minecraft for adults. And nice. It's been enjoyable. We've been obsessed with it, most definitely. And yeah, that's what we've been playing, Eco. So it's been pretty fun.
Hell yeah, man. That's dope. Ladies and gentlemen, Eco. And speaking of gaming, make sure you're checking out the Band from Chat podcast. It's one of our affiliates here on the Working On It network. They talk everything involving the nerd culture life, video games, mostly video games, but also anime and comics and whatnot. So check them out. It's Brantley, Danny, and Vaughn, Band from Chat. Wherever you stream us, you can stream them. Band from Chat.
Oh.
Moving on. That's going to do it for gaming. Let's get into our last segment, which is music. And we actually have some music news for once. Holy shit. I think we had some last time, but usually we don't have music news. We just get straight into music. Two things. First and foremost, the Doolab finally released the lineup for Coachella. For those of you who don't know, the Doolab is one of the stages. The Doolab stage is Doolab is one of the crews that puts on this one of the stages at Coachella. They also throw Lightning in a Bottle Festival. And they finally released their lineup. It looks like they've got three blurred out names and surprise guests. There's always surprises each year, every weekend, every day. But we have three lines blurred out, and two of those names look like... Three names blurred out, I apologize. And two of those names look like they're for Weekend One. So for Weekend One, we've got Andre Power, Austin Mills, DJ Boring, Elohim. I'm sorry, it's the wrong one. That's Weekend Two. Weekend One is actually Balkan Bump, Kasmalia, Chloe Calais, CID, I think. Coco and Breezy, Death Pact, Duskus, Elephant Heart, Holly, Life on Planets, Major League DJs, Prospa, Quarter, Rebecca Black and Friends, DJ set, which interesting. Rochelle Jordan, Totally Enormous Extinct Dinosaurs DJ set, and Unique. And again, like I said, two of the names that are blurred out are for that weekend. So I wonder who that's going to be. Weekend 2 is going to be a big one. That's going to be Andre Power, Austin Mills, DJ Boring, Elohim DJ Set, Esta, Honey Love, Hunter Legit, Ivy Lab, sick, Justin Martin, sick, Mary Droppins, Mind Chatter. I love that name, Mary Droppins. I guarantee
Mary
you
Droppins.
That better be music to do acid to. I swear if it's not, I'm gonna have a talking to with that person. Mind Chatter, More Kismet, OTDE, Patricio, Red Giant Project, who was dope, Rinzen, Saint V, Sasha Marie, Side Piece, Scream, Sweet Like Chocolate, The Glitch Mob, Vintage Culture, and Yulia Nico, with the last, the third name that was blurred out being for that weekend. It's going to be fun. Again, Coachella happens April 15th through 17th and 22nd and 24th. It's two separate weekends. And, yeah, I'll be at the Doolab stage, the best stage at Coachella, ladies and gentlemen. And it's upon us. It's upon us. We're now in April. I will be there next Wednesday. That's it.
Oop, oop.
I will be there next Wednesday loading in the audio for the Doolab stage. And I hope y'all are ready to party and have a good time. If you are at Coachella, come say hi. The Doolab stage at Coachella.
Boom.
All righty. You know what I'm going to read, actually? I'm going to read this right here for, in regards to the Doolab stage. Today, creators of Lightning in a Bottle Festival and Immersive Art Leaders Doolab have announced the 2022 artist lineup for their iconic stage at Coachella. Doolab perennially brings in legendary electronic acts alongside next generation rising stars. Familiar favorites will take center stage, such as Electronic Trio and Doolab regulars The Glitch Mob, pioneering UK producer and DJ Scream, Brazilian artist and worldwide collaborator Vintage Culture, a DJ set by British producer and songwriter Totally Enormous Extinct Dinosaurs, Nitty Gritty and Party Favors House Project Side Piece. These names will collide with the best of what's next, including New Jersey sensation and club queen Unique, influential electronic prodigy More Kismet, Rising star and emergent Dirty Bird favorite Nala, ascendant house and techno producer Honey Love, electronic R&B and soul singer-songwriter Life on Planets, and many more. I would also like to give a huge shout-out and fuck yeah to Tadia, my homegirl who is actually partially responsible for this lineup. So shouts out to her and the Flemings. The Fleming brothers who own the Doolab, they did a great job with the lineup. There are a lot of names here that I don't know, but usually with lineups like this, for stages like this, if it's a name that I don't know, I'm about to become a fan, a new fan of somebody that I've never heard before. So there's that. So the Doolab stage, see you guys there on the polo fields. Right now, the Grammys are getting rolling. I believe it is the red carpet walk right now for the Grammys, so we will probably not talk about that next week. Just because by then the Grammys will just be out of focus.
Yeah.
We can talk about it really briefly right here, real quick. Just be like general what we're looking at. I just want to look at. I really realized I didn't look at who was nominated and stuff. So general field record of the year. Funny enough, ABBA has is in it for Record of the Year. ABBA for I Still Have Faith in You, Freedom by John Batiste, I Get a Kick Out of You, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga, Peaches, Justin Bieber featuring Daniel Caesar and Givian, Right on Time, Brandi Carlile, Kiss Me More, Doja Cat featuring SZA, Happier Than Ever, Billie Eilish, Montero, Lil Nas X, Driver's License, Olivia Rodrigo, Leave the Door Open, Silk Sonic. Who do you think is going to get it?
It's probably hard. ABBA. I'm just kidding. Probably, I'm going to say Olivia Rodrigo, because that album went fucking crazy with everybody when it came out, and I know how popular it is still.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Grammys want to win headlines, and giving it to the youngest there is gonna definitely
win headlines.
And that's
record of the year, which is just the one song.
Yeah, Olivia Rodrigo's gonna sweep. Let me tell you right now, she's gonna sweep. I think that's what's gonna happen. So, yep.
For record of the year, we've got John Batiste for We Are, Tony Bennett and Lady Gaga Love for Sale, Justin Bieber's Justice, the Triple Chucks Deluxe. Planet Her Deluxe by Doja Cat. Happier Than Ever, Billie Eilish. Back of My Mind, Her. Montero, Lil Nas X. Sour, Olivia Rodriguez. Donda, Kanye West.
Rigo.
Yeah.
Rodrigo.
Song of the Year, Bad Habits, Ed Sheeran. A Beautiful Noise, Alicia Keys and Brandi Carlile. Driver's License, Olivia Rodrigo. Fight For You, Her. Happier Than Ever, Billie Eilish. Kiss Me More, Doja Cat and SZA. Leave the Door Open, Sil Sonic. Montero, Call Me By Your Name, Lil Nas X. And Peaches by Justin Bieber, Daniel Caesar, and Givian. Oh, sorry.
And
Right on Time, Brandi Carlile. Huh. Best
stuff.
Best New Artist. Aruj, Aftab, Jimmy Allen, Baby Keem, Phineas, Glass Animals. Glass Animals is in the Best New Artist category in 2022?
Yeah, I don't know what they were thinking.
That would have been relevant in maybe like 2015, 2016. Best
also,
New Artist.
Japanese Breakfast as well is on there, and they've been making music for like 6 years.
Wow. Yeah, Japanese Breakfast, The Kid, Leori, Arlo Parks, Olivia Rodrigo, Saweetie. I see Olivia Rodrigo getting that.
I really want Arlo Parks to win, but she won't.
It'll
be Olivia Rodrigo.
I really want Phineas to win, but he won't. Honestly, I want Saweetie to win, too.
I don't want her to win. I'm just kidding.
Field One Pop, Best Solo Performance, Don't Care. Best Pop Duo Group Performance, Don't Care. Best Traditional Pop Vocal Album, Don't Care.
Sour by Olivia Rodrigo. There you go. I did it for you.
Best pop vocal album. She's not even in any of those. Except for here in Best Pop Vocal Album. We got Bieber for Justice, Doja Cat, Planet Her, Billie Eilish, Happier Than Ever, or Ariana Grande, Positions. I didn't even know Ariana Grande released an album in the last year. And Sour, Olivia Rodrigo. Now, dance and electronic music, Afrojack and David Guetta are up there. Aliffer and Arnold featuring Bonobo, James Blake, Bonobo and Totally Enormous Extinct Dinosaurs, and Caribou. Oh, they already have winners for this.
It's what's Rufus happening as we're talking.
Yeah, Rufus Du Sol won. Well, no, these are the. I think there's a pre. There's a pre show, and then there's the show. Because I think the red carpet is happening right now. And I thought I heard it was like 70 awards get given out in the pre show. Anyway. Rufus Du Sol won Best Dance Electronic Recording for Alive. Fuck yeah. Best Dance Electronic Music Album. Fuck yeah. Black Coffee won for Subconsciously. Beat Out Marshmello, Major Lazer, and Illenium. And Sylvanesso. Those are all really talent. Those are all really big people. Oh, that was it for that. In contemporary instrumental music, who cares? So rock, best rock performance, Making a Fire, Foo Fighters. R.I.P. Taylor. Best metal performance went to The Alien by Dream Theater. Beat out Rob Zombie, Mastodon, Gojira, and Deftones. Wow. Best rock album has not been announced yet, and neither has Best Rock Song. So for Best Rock Album, Power Up, AC/DC, Capital Cuts, Live from Studio A, Black Pumas, No One Sings Like You Anymore, Vinyl Volume 1, Chris Cornell, Foo Fighters, Medicine at Midnight, and McCartney 3, Paul McCartney. Oh, wow. For Best Rock Song, we got Weezer, Kings of Leon, Mammoth, WVH, and Paul McCartney, and the Foo Fighters. Alternative, Best Alternative Music Album, sure, Fleet Foxes, If I Can't Have Love, I Want Power by Halsey, Jubilee, Japanese Breakfast, Collapse in Sunbeams, Arlo Parks, Dance Home, St. Vincent. You gonna go with Arlo Parks on that one?
She's taking one home, goddammit.
Best alternative music album. Okay, Arlo Parks. That's Danny's pick. I'm gonna go with Arlo Parks too, because I don't really hear any other ones, so I'm gonna back Danny on that one. Best R&B performance. Let's fuck the performance. Best progressive R&B album. Here we go. New Light by Eric Bellinger. Something to Say, Corey Henry. Mood Valiant, Hiatus Coyote. Table for Two by Lucky Day. Dinner Party, Dessert, Terrace, Martin, Robert Glasper, Ninth Wonder, and Kamasi Washington. Studying Abroad, Extended Stay, Masego. I love Masego, but that Dinner Party, those Dinner Party albums are amazing. I don't know if I listened to that one, though. I'm going to go with that one. Best R&B song, best R&B album. Best R&B song, Damaged by Her, Good Days by SZA, Heartbreak Anniversary by Givian, Leave the Door Open by Silk Sonic, Pick Up Your Feelings by Jasmine Sullivan. I think Silk Sonic's going to pick up that one.
Yeah.
I see Silk Sonic picking that one up. Best R&B album, Temporary Highs and Violet Skies, Snow Allegra, ooh, We Are, John Batiste, Gold Digger Sound, Leon Bridges, Back of My Mind, Her, Hotels, Jasmine Sullivan. Fuck, this is hard. Because Snow Allegra's album was dope, Leon Bridges' album was dope, and Her's album was dope. I'm giving it to her. Let's see rap. Rap. Best melodic. I don't care about the performance. Best rap album. It's between J. Cole for The Offseason, Nas for King's Disease 2, Tyler, the Creator for Call Me If You Get Lost, and Kanye West for Donda. Wow. Wow. Kanye West better not win, that is all I know.
He's going to.
He fucking better not. He's going to. You know what, Kanye West?
What?
If you fuckers give him that Grammy. They fucking better not.
I think Tyler, the Creator, is the strongest. Honestly. I think it's the better album.
I think he might. Yeah. Because here's the thing. King's Disease 1 was nominated last year. King's Disease 2 was nominated this year. King's Disease 2 was the better of the two. And in my opinion, by a lot. The Offseason was dope, but I feel like King's Disease 2 might eke out over that a little bit. Now, when I look at King's Disease 2 and Call Me If You Get Lost, I get very, very conflicted. Because though I love Nas and I'm a Nas stan, Call Me If You Get Lost was good. And what a lot of people considered Tyler's best project. It was just, as a whole, it was just beautiful. I don't know. I can't call it. I'm not going to call it. We'll see. Best Rap Song, Bath Salts by DMX featuring Jay-Z and Nas. Best Friend, Saweetie featuring Doja Cat. I feel like that's such an old song. Family Ties by Baby Keem featuring Kendrick Lamar. Jail, Kanye West featuring Jay-Z. My Life, J. Cole featuring 21 Savage and More.
Jail wins.
I can see Jail winning.
Guess who's going to jail tonight?
Who gives a fuck about the country one? I know.
Oh, dude,
we
fuck
don't.
Yeah, Chris Stapleton.
Shut the fuck up. Jazz. Best jazz. Gospel. Best gospel album. Latin, best Latin pop album. Alex Cuba. Bad Bunny won best musica urbana album. Fuck yeah, best regional Mexican music album, including Tejano, A Mis 80s, Vicente Fernandez, R.I.P. Fucking Chente winning even after he died. That's dope. Best tropical Latin album, Sal Swing. Ooh, Ruben Blades. Y Roberto Delgado and Orchestra. I didn't even know Ruben Blades was still making music. That's dope. Best American Roots Performance, Best American Roots Song. John Batista won out on that one. Best American Album, Los Lobos, Native Sons. I love that, the irony.
You can tie?
You can?
It says, oh, sorry, I'm ahead. Best Score Soundtrack for Visual Media, Soul, which is a great, great, great score, the movie. And Queen's Gambit, the show, they tied.
Oh, wow.
Whatever.
Fine, be that way.
Mm-hmm.
Spoken word. Wait, my man's Obama was up for this. Hold on. Best spoken word album includes poetry, audiobooks, and storytelling. Don Cheadle won. And he beat out Barack Obama, Dave Chappelle, Jay Ivey, and LeVar Burton.
Wow.
Dang. Best comedy album, we've got Lavelle Crawford, Chelsea Handler, Louis C.K., Louis Black, Nate Bargates, and Kevin Hart. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, lots of stuff.
It's a lot. That's pretty much the important stuff right there. I hope who you guys want to win wins. And yeah, that's going to do it. That's going to do it for that. Whatever, it's the Grammys. Let's get into the actual music.
Yeah, let's get into real music.
Let's get into real music. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay. Danny!
Why don't you start us off? Why don't you start us off with what you were listening to?
Sure.
I think we had down. Did we share anything? Oh, just the one thing.
Yeah.
Okay, go for it.
Let's see. What did I start with? I started the week off right, and I listened to Machine Gun Kelly's...
That was it.
Right.
Sorry.
Yeah. Ah, that's exactly how I felt while listening to Machine Gun Kelly's Mainstream Sellout.
Wait, was it called Mainstream Sellout?
That's exactly what it's called.
Okay.
So Machine Gun Kelly, of course, embracing the haters and the you know, he's not punk rock enough. Because he keeps saying it every song of how, like, oh, everyone hates me. I went in and I was just like, I'm going to be professional about it. I'm not going to, like, post on Twitter the second I turn the album on and go, wow, this is bad, you know? Yeah, it's glorifying early 2000s pop punk, but it stays in that realm. Like, it's not evolved pop punk, like how pop punk and emo have evolved over the years. It's literally, if I were in middle school, I probably would have thought this was good. Like, it's...
Okay.
I don't know, man. It's just like, he is so focused on, like, people who are against him. That it, like, kind of just ruins it. And also the glorification of, like, being suicidal, being a drug addict. Like, it doesn't seem like he's taking it seriously. It's like he's kind of making fun of it. Like, of himself.
Oh, wow.
But, so it's just, like, every song is about, like, oh, he's got a loaded gun. He's in a room by himself. Like, oh, he's taken so many drugs. His therapy sessions, he doesn't even go to. Like, that's literally, like, the main three topics that he goes over this album, and it's just like his vocals are just like unappealing. It's kind of just like this whole album of like boring. It's just boring, and it also is just like, it sounds like a parody album. It sounds like he's making fun of pop punk, you know. And I just, it's just a bad time. It was just a bad time. He even had a joke or a line where he said, if MGK, you know, I could have made Donda. Like, what? Like, what do you even mean by that? Like, he's just weird on this album. And I just was not with it. I wasn't with it. No one is with it. but it's good for the kids. Kids love it.
It got torn apart. It got torn apart. Like,
yeah,
ripped to shreds.
But, you know, he made the bag already. So, like, there's nothing we can do about it. It's just, he's just going to continue doing his little thing. And it's just like, he sounds like Rebirth with Lil Wayne. Like, that's what this sounds like. Is just following Lil Wayne's path when Lil Wayne did this. And Lil Wayne, of course, is featured on here. So it's just like, I hate it all. I hated it all. I didn't like it. It was just terrible. So I just, yeah. That's me being professional.
Okay.
So, yeah, I started, that's what I started off listening to. Anyways, I then listened to Dreamville. They released a Gangsta Grills, a Gangsta Greasels mixtape. So it's Dreamville and DJ Drama. And, yeah, I mean, Dreamville Festival's coming up. So they wanted to put something out. You've got a lot of people on here, obviously. I mean, it's Dreamville.
Yeah.
Dude, you've got JID, who is amazing on the album. Sheck West, Earth Gang, 2 Chainz is here. Boss, ASAP Ferg, Omen, Cause, Loot. Ari Lennox has her own songs on here. And Young Nudie, Loot. I think I said Loot already. Jay Perico, Reason. There's a lot of people on here. And of course, DJ Drama.
Yeah.
J. Cole just seems like he's shoehorned, not shoehorned, but he's just at the end of every song, or like the song he's featured in, he's at the end, he feels out of place. It's just, it was smacked together. There's already a Chris Rock joke in here by DJ Drama. Ari Lennox is left by herself. Like, they just put songs of Ari Lennox in the middle of this hype mixtape, and it feels weird. It's a mixtape. I can't like drill into it too much. It's a mixtape. Like, it's, that's what mixtapes are. They're just
slap together is the vibe.
Yeah, they slap together obviously before to get people hyped for the festival. JID's great on this. Boss is great on this. And dude, like, the songs that JID's on are great, And Ari Lennox, her songs are great. They just shouldn't have been on the mixtape.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Shouts to Ari. I fucking love Ari Lennox. She's so great.
Super talented. Super talented.
Oh, yeah.
And then Red Hot Chili Peppers. They released Unlimited Love.
I also listened to this.
On Friday. And yeah, it's just like it's a long jam session, what it feels like.
Yeah.
It's like a long, like they did it. It's not created like it was in one take. I'm just saying, like, if you were to play this whole album, like, it flows together nicely. It has such a strong start. And it's just, you know, it's just a Red Hot Chili Peppers album. It's stronger than their last two, you know, and it's still pretty decent. It's decent.
It feels like to me that they hit the can't stop era. You know, mm-hmm. can't stop addicted to the shindig, and then like stayed there, but like lost some of their appeal and pizzazz. I don't know. There was like two skips for me on this album where I was like, this song is really like just, that's where I agree with the whole jam session feel, because it feels like they were just like chilling, playing, and there were some parts where it just got a little dull. Mm-hmm. Because jam sessions of that magnitude tend to fizzle out a little bit at some point. And yeah, it'll probably pick up. But yeah, there's nothing crazy. Like, it wasn't bad, but there also wasn't anything like really popping to me in this album.
Yeah, it's long-winded for sure.
And it's like, it's mids. It's mids Red Hot Chili Peppers. And I honestly got the feeling, I was like, maybe Red Hot Chili Peppers can't make another new album that'll really just like fucking hit like some of their old ones.
Not maybe anymore.
They should just stick, they're a legacy act. They should just stick to playing their hits, and that's it.
Yeah.
But yeah. Fuck yeah.
And I mean, I guess my pick of the week, my highlight. Pick of the week is I listened to Pup. Pup is a really popular punk band that delves into indie. They are pop punk, essentially. And it's called The Unraveling of Pup the Band. This is fun. I really like this. It's a punk album. So it's got existentialism. It's got chaotic instrumentals, screaming, catchy choruses. And it's just really good. It's enjoyable. And it's just like one of those albums where I can nod my head and just jam out for a second. And it was the highlight of my week. And for people who don't know who Pup is, this is their most accessible album. Yeah, I liked it a lot. I really did enjoy this album. I can't wait to listen to more. And there's a lot of good anthems on here. A lot of good punk anthems.
Oh, yeah. So. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are going to play a song from that album. This is Waiting by Pup from The Unraveling of Pup the Band. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Waiting by Pup off of the new album, The Unraveling of Pup the Band.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, man.
That's pretty much it, though.
Good shit. Good shit. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you. As mentioned before, I listened to Red Hot Chili Peppers. I also listened to three other things. First and foremost, Meshuggah. Came out with an album, and I haven't heard Meshuggah in a really long time. They're a metal band. I think I also saw someone describe them as like groove metal. Just because they have a lot of, I mean, their metal is like really, in a sense, repetitive. Weird time signatures. Sometimes a lot of long spans of just instrumental stuff before any vocals come in, or just instrumental. But they are, It was nice to hear from them again. Nothing too crazy. It wasn't insanely fucking groundbreaking, but it was great to hear her album from Meshuggah again. Yeah, Immutable. Immutable's 13 tracks by Meshuggah. And if you're into metal, if you love Meshuggah, you'll probably dig this album. And yes. And that's you should check it out. Moving on, I had two other ones. The legendary Pete Rock came out with a new album, Pete Strumentals 4. If you're a Pete Rock fan, you know about Pete Rock's projects. And he has some albums called Pete Strumentals. And he came out with the fourth installment of that album series. And it's great. It's great. 14 tracks of Pete Rock productions. And it's all Pete Rock. No artists, like no MCs all over this shit. It's just Pete Rock goodness. You could check that out. I'm going to play a song from this album. This is Listen Close,
yeah. Listen Close
by Pete Rock off of Pete Strumentals 4. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Listen Close by Pete Rock off of the new album Pete Strumentals 4. Peep it to all my boom bap hip hop heads. And lastly, my pick of the week along with Pete Rock is Apartment 505 by Coast Contra. Now, I came across this album by fucking accident. I had never heard about Coast Contra, no joke, before I think yesterday, maybe the day before. Coast Contra brings brotherhood and hospitality to their hip-hop. Rio Lowe's, Eric Jamal, Taj Austin, and Ross Austin make up the brotherhood that is Coast Contra. The four artists and rappers met in Los Angeles when they moved in together at the 505 Apartments. I came across Coast Contra because of Instagram. Eric Jamal came across my feed and he had a freestyle up. Of course, they just released this album, so I'm not surprised that they were, you know, they're in fucking album mode. But this fool was killing it, and I was like, who is this guy? And it was like, Coast Contra, new album out now. And I'm like, well, let me check this shit out. And I dug this shit. There were some tracks that I was just like, whatevs. It's all right. But I dug these dudes. They fucking kill it. This album is enjoyable to me. It's a vibe. It's a vibe. They definitely have some boom bap vibes at times. But they also have like that newer shit. No drill, of course. But yeah, just like these guys also have three features on here. Travis Walker, Sakari is on an interlude, and BJ the Chicago Kid is on one of these tracks. 17 tracks. It's good. I enjoyed it. I recommend it. I was surprised, and it was just great to come across something that I've never heard of before, something completely new to me, and me dig it. So, fuck yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to play a song. This is going to be 505. I'm playing 505 by Coast Contra off of the new album, Apartment 505. You heard it here, people. Hey, hey.
Our Father who art in heaven, I love when you toss me blessings. You never throw interceptions. I catch them like Odie Beckham. Hard to not fuck the devil when built like Tiana Teller and balling at 27. I feel like Iman Shepherd. Yep. Know there's a disconnect when the sheep start to lead the shepherd. The weak start to be aggressive. The street start to be the reverend. Bragging about first class, seated on 9/11. They spirits are not united. The legion, my soul forever. I murdered my adolescence. Assault with a friendly weapon. I verbally dissect them to help them get back together. Wanting the stranger thing. Celtics. Watch how I Euro step and make curry them like I'm stepping whenever I'm in your town. The Warriors in your presence.
Ladies and gentlemen, that is 505 by Coast Contra off of the new album Apartment 505. Beep it. And that's all I got.
Do it.
That's all I got. And that's going to do it for music, ladies and gentlemen, and the show. As far as music goes, just to wrap it on out, remember that we are on Spotify, not only with the podcast, but a Spotify profile. So search the Chit Show Podcast, filter it by profiles, and we're the only profile there. Follow it, and you'll have access to all of the playlists that we have that coincide with each episode with all the featured music. So all the music that we featured in this episode, you can listen to in a playlist there. And also, if you are into music podcasts, if you like to go in-depth about the music that's come out recently, certain artists' albums, spotlights, interviews with up-and-coming artists or unknown artists, you want to check out the Untitled Mixtape, an affiliate for the Working On It Network. Again, that is the Untitled Mixtape, hosted by Lewis, Lorenzo, and Danny. You can check them out wherever you stream our show. Peep them. They are at Untitled Mixtape on social media. Boom. And make sure you support the other podcasts on the network. We are the Working On It Network. We mentioned two of them, and there's only one other one to mention. That is the Solarian Girls, our book club podcast, where the ladies talk about a specific series that they are reading and very knowledgeable in. It's dope. Check it out. Support them. Support all the podcasts here on the Working On It Network. Hey. And if you're on Discord, hit us up on the Working On It Network Discord. We have a Chit Show Podcast Discord, but we also have a network Discord. It is discord.gg/workingonit. Again, that is discord.gg/workingonit. And come vibe with us. That's going to do it. Make sure you're following both of us on social media. Danny is at The Real Danko on Instagram, at The Real Danko. He is also at Bulldozer Danko on Twitter. I am on social media as well, at IamDJBrute. Again, that is at IamDJBrute on all social media. All my music, like my mixes, originals, remixes, on SoundCloud. SoundCloud.com/IamDJBrute. Or check out my profile, my website on www.djbrute.com. As far as shows go for The Britisher, we're done for the month, like I said. I will be back in May. Back for three nights in May. Looking like, I'm sorry, let me flip the page. Looking like May 6th, May 7th, and May 13th. And that is going to be it for dates in May, because then I will be at EDC Las Vegas for the Rhino Bus activation. And then Lightning in a Bottle at Thunder Stage. So it's going to be good. Follow us on social media, support, tell your friends. Thank you for supporting, everybody. You are the best. We appreciate you. And we love you all for constantly supporting the show and loving and supporting us. Danny, you are the man. Thank you, as fucking always, for being my awesome co-host.
Thank you for having me, sir. You're the best.
You got anything you need to tell the people?
Just go read something, you nerd. That's it. Go read a book.
There you go. You heard it here, people. Go read, yeah. You fucking nerds.
You heard it.
That's going to do it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you again. Thank you for supporting. Thank you for sharing. Love life. Love yourselves. Love the people that love you. Keep kicking that ass. Take care of yourselves. If you need anything, hit us up. And we will see you next week here on the Chit Show Podcast. Peace. Aw, fuck yeah.
You know the fucking vines.